We're going to be in John chapter 15 to begin with this morning. John's Gospel, the 15th chapter. And this chapter is the chapter in which Jesus, I'm going to read just one verse here, but it's the chapter in which Jesus speaks of the fact that He is the vine and we are the branches. And we must draw our very life from Him by abiding in Him, just like a branch on a main trunk must draw its life from the trunk of whatever plant it might be, right? And so He speaks to us on that realm and that line. And there's a phrase here that ought to be embedded, not deep in our minds only, but deep in our hearts. One little phrase that He says at the end of verse 5 that I want you to see as we read verse 5 of John 15. He says, I am the vine. In other words, the main trunk of a plant. Ye are the branches. He that abides in me, that stays, that dwells, that resides, that lives in me, and I in him, the same. Of course, he or she, amen, young or old, whoever it is, in other words, that abides in Jesus Christ, he or she will what? They will bring forth much fruit. There's no question about it. There's no, it could possibly happen if you as a human being abide in Christ. If your life is Jesus and you draw your very substance to live from Jesus Christ, you are leaning and depending on Him and walking in Him. If you abide in Him, and of course He is abiding in you, you and I will bring forth much fruit. Fruit for the kingdom, the fruits of righteousness, the fruits of the, or the fruit rather, of the Spirit of God, the fruit of souls being won to Jesus. We will bring forth much fruit because, he says at the end of this verse, for without me, you can do nothing. For apart from me, that's what it means, apart from me, you and I can do nothing. I want to preach for just a few minutes this morning on the thought, nothing but Jesus. Nothing but Jesus. Without me, you can do nothing. Let's pray. Father, in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you this morning for the reality of your presence in this place, touching every heart and moving in every life. And we ask that every individual under the sound of my voice, both now and perhaps later, Lord, in listening, God, to the message, that every individual that would hear the message that you give us this morning would be stirred, would be touched, would be challenged and ministered to by the power of the Holy Spirit. God, I ask you to have your way. And not for me to have my way, God, but for you to have your way in the remainder of this service as you have up to this point. And God, we'll give you all the glory. We'll give you all the praise. We'll give you all the honor. Because we want nothing but Jesus, and we want to glorify no one but you, Lord. God, have your way. We ask in Jesus' wonderful, wonderful name. And everybody said amen, and amen, and amen. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, he wasn't really referring here to natural things. I know people who do not know Jesus Christ at all, are godless, and they do natural things. Without Jesus, I can tie my shoes, believe it or not. Right? I mean, we can do natural things that seem to the natural eye to be successful, whether it's as simple as tying our shoes or being as successful as, you know, a chief executive of a multi-million dollar or multi-billion dollar corporation. Not everybody who accomplishes things in the natural does them through the power and the grace of God. Not everybody who does that with Christ. But Jesus was not talking about things of this world that are not eternal and do not ultimately matter in the whole scheme of things and will not be taken with you and will not make a difference for eternity and do not glorify Him. No, He was referring to bearing fruit for the kingdom, bearing the fruit of God. And He said, apart from Me, when it comes to anything of any lasting, of any spiritual value that brings glory to God, apart from Me, you can do no thing. Amen. You can have no true success in the eyes of God. You can do nothing that will last for eternity, that will impact souls for Jesus Christ, unless Jesus Christ is doing it in you and through you and in me and through me, because we are nothing without Him ultimately. But dust. Amen. But a human, earthly, and temporary frame. There's two simple things I want to, I think, lay out to you here this morning. I want to keep this message very simple because there is such power in the simple truths of Jesus Christ and His Word. Can you say amen? Oh, sometimes we can make those truths sound complicated when they really aren't. But I'd rather make them to sound this morning just as simple as they really are. I remember one time, quite a few years ago, I was going to some training for an introductory training for air conditioning and refrigeration. Somewhere along the line in the middle of the class, they were teaching about troubleshooting air conditioning and refrigeration units. And we had learned about all of these things, you know, at least touched on the surface of many complicated things. And there's so many problems that could exist when your air conditioner, your refrigeration unit is not running. Right? And there's computer stuff in there, and there's circuitry in there, and there's all kind of things. But I remember as the instructor was talking about troubleshooting these units, he wrote a little acronym on the board. He wrote K-I-S-S. And I'm like, my wife isn't even here, buddy. Not really. But I wonder, what's that? I had never heard that acronym before. And he described what it was. He said, you know, don't start by looking for the most complicated reasons, but keep it simple, stupid. Now, I don't like the word stupid to refer to a person, so I'm going to use the acronym and say, keep it simple, silly. Is that all right? Silly you and silly me. Is that better? Saints. That's it. Keep it simple, saints. Thank you, Sister Judy. What was I thinking? Keep it simple, saints. Oh, man. I wasn't listening to the Holy Spirit this morning at all when I just thought, well, I'm going to got to think of a way. I don't want to say keep it simple, stupid. Right? Keep it simple, saints of God. Amen. And so he was saying, you know, don't start with the most complicated things in the unit. Maybe somebody turned the breaker off. Maybe it's disconnected from the power source. Maybe it's something Very simple. Listen, in our lives, if we're failing at what God has promised we can be victorious in, then I want to tell you something. Somewhere, we're just simply disconnected to some degree from the power source. Maybe we got 120 volts when we need to run on 240. Amen? But somehow, we're not fully connected to the power source. Keep it simple, saints. Amen? Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. I want to just give you two simple truths that in a sense this morning are all that you really need to embrace to serve God. Now, I know sometimes it becomes very complicated to us. In our minds, it's like, oh, there's so much to keep track of. There's so much to do. It's so hard to serve the Lord, we think. And in self, it's not only hard, it's impossible. But in reality, when we do it God's way, it's not complicated. It's not hard. It's simple because it's God doing it in and through us. I remember as a young Christian, fresh out of Bible college, working in Omaha, just as a basically home missionary, being trained for the ministry. And I remember one day I went to prayer and I said, God, it seems so impossible that you will ever be able to bring me into the ministry. It seems like there's so many issues that I have to deal with in my life. There are so many things that I'm trying to retain that I'm not retaining. There's so much to all of this, and it seems to me right now, Lord, so overwhelming. And I remember the Holy Spirit just impressed my heart. And He said, son, there's only two things you got to do. Just fellowship with me and feast on my word. Amen. The rest will all fall into place. I was like, duh. Keep it simple, saint. Amen. I mean, it's not all this complication. You got complicated issues, complicated problems. Life is more complicated, more difficult to navigate than it's ever been before in history, I think. Amen? It's not supposed to be that complicated, it doesn't seem to me, but it is. And we have problems that we're taking to God that are so complex. We think we know what we need. We think we know what's at the root of the issues we struggle with. We think we know what we've got to do. Or maybe even we take it a little deeper and we think we know what God's got to do. But the reality is often we've got it all wrong. Often we are clueless. Often we don't know what is below, deep down inside, that only God knows. Our complicated problems, in one sense, are probably far more complicated than we realize. But we serve a God who knows no complications. We serve a God who has no quandaries. We serve a God who sees nothing as difficult. We serve a God who brings your mountain range down to a tiny pebble on the beach and can blow it away with the breath of His Spirit. We serve a mighty God. We serve a powerful God. We serve a God that looks beyond the surface and sees the heart and knows the future and knows you. Amen. You don't have to figure out every problem in your life. You don't have to fix every issue in your heart. You don't have to get all these things under your control. And like the world would tell you, just know that you're taking the bull by the horns and you've got it all where you can do it. No, that's not what we need. We need Jesus.
Amen. And He can work through.
Work through? He can work through anything. He already knows it all. What am I saying? He can work through all your problems. He can walk you through working through all the problems. He's not working on anything. Listen, He worked for 6 days to create the earth, and on the seventh day He rested. And He's called you into rest. I say create the earth, create everything. Amen? And it wasn't work to Him. He just spoke the word and it was done. And you talk about complicated stuff that God has created? I mean, science in all of its advances and so forth and all that it has discovered is only scratching the surface. There is no doubt more to God's creation that they yet don't understand than there is that they do. Amen? You talk about complex and complicated. And from what I read in Scripture, 6 times God spoke, and each time one of these complicated things that we're still trying to wrap our minds around just a little bit were brought to pass and brought about and created from nothing just by the word of the God who lives inside of you and me. Amen. Praise God. No wonder He told us to accept the truth that with God, nothing is impossible. And here we are down here, and we're trying to figure all this stuff out. And we're like, God, these problems are so complicated, and I don't know how to fix my life. And man, I've been like this for 49 years. Boy, you're behind me then, right? Man, I've had this issue for 37 years. I've just been dealing with this for a long time. And it's just so complex and complicated. And I'm trying to get this thing by the tail. And I'm trying to get a handle on that thing. And and God says, silly child. Amen. Keep it simple. Just come to me. Yield your heart to me. Let me give you faith. Let me take you by the hand and lead you through. Keep it simple, saint of God. Amen. Would God ever use the word silly? He did with me one time. I remember, I'm a new believer, been saved a couple of months. I'm crying out to God about His plan for my life. I'm wrestling with all the options, all the things that I could do. What is God's will? Didn't realize that God had been trying to tell me, and I just hadn't been listening through no intentional fault of my own, through no desire whatsoever to shut out the voice of God. I just didn't clearly understand His voice. And so I get down to the point, I've got to decide whether I'm going to leave Vermont and go to Bible college in Boston, Massachusetts, where I know I don't want to go, but if God wants me, I guess I will. And I've got to make a decision by tomorrow when it gets down to this point. Still banging my head against the wall, trying to figure it out. It's Saturday. On Sunday, back in 1980, fall of 1980, I'm going to church there in Everett, Massachusetts, near Boston. And I've got to give them an answer because Bible school starts in a few weeks. And I'm either going to that Bible college or I'm not. And I still don't know. And I'm wrestling with this. I was, babysitting that night at my grandmother's house. Not babies, but children. And they were put to bed, went to bed. I went in the room where I was staying in my grandmother's house in Lynn, Massachusetts. Got on my knees at the bed. And I said, God, I don't understand this. I've been crying out to you. I've been asking you to show me what to do. And you won't show me, Lord. You won't tell me. I don't understand. And I'm pouring my heart out. I got to make a decision tomorrow, God. And all at once, in my heart, you know, God knows how to speak to our hearts, doesn't he? 2 months old in Jesus. And all at once, in the quiet of my heart, I heard these words. My silly child, I've been trying to tell you all along, but you haven't been listening. I knew what that meant. Somehow God knew how to make real to me what that meant. Tears filled my eyes as I said, Jesus, if you want me to go to Bible college in Boston, Massachusetts, that's what I will do. And the sweet peace of Jesus filled my soul as the tears welled up in my eyes. And I knew that this was the plan of God. And I settled it right there. This is what I'm going to do. Because God has called me to do it. Who knew back then I would one day be the president of Revival Center Incorporated, the pastor of Bethany Revival Center, the husband of the most precious woman on the face of the planet, in my opinion, Judy Daly. Would one day be Judy Daly DeZazzo. I didn't even know there was a Judy Daly. Who knew that God had a plan for my life that focused all around what He was telling me was the next step in my life? Who knew? God knew. If He'd have told me all that then, I would have fell over and died from disbelief or inability to wrap my mind around what God had. But He said, silly child, I've been telling you all along what the next step is. And I said, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Amen. I didn't use those words, but my heart said yes. And I melted in His presence, and I had had my very first Gethsemane experience. Because what it boiled down to was I was saying, not my will, but thine be done. Can you say amen? We all need lots of those. They are wonderful. Those Gethsemane experiences. Like Jesus had when He said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Jesus can't bless our will. He doesn't even want to bless our will. He wants to bless us. Jesus can only bless when our heart says, not my will, but thy will be done. But there are two things, if I can get to them this morning, and we've been talking about them anyway, that I want to lay out that are so simple, that is all that we really need to embrace to follow God, serve God, to do whatever He's called us to do in our service to Him as a Christian who is living the life by His power and grace. They're really spelled out here, but clearly in the statement, and there's two sides of the first coin, okay? The first coin is what it says right here when it says, without me you can do nothing. And the flip side of that same coin, which is all the same point, is in Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen? It is the awareness, the understanding, in your heart that apart from Jesus Christ, there's nothing that God wants you to do and live that you can do or live, but taking that a step further to know in your heart that by trusting in Jesus, if it's something that's His will and it's something done in His way, therefore you are doing it through Christ. You are leaning and depending on Him. You can do all things that He has purposed. Amen. So you and I must know that we can do nothing without Jesus, but we can do everything He wants us to do by leaning on Him and trusting in Him. One thing that we need to know to follow Jesus. Two sides of that coin, but one thing. Amen. Trust Him. It's said simply in the song, trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, right, than to trust and obey. The second thing that is so simple and so true, it's not something you need to know, it's something you need to have. If you're saved, you have it. Whether it's ignited in your soul or not depends on if you're spending time with Jesus to let Him ignite it. But it's one simple thing that we must have to be able to serve God and walk with God and do what God has called us to do. Came into my heart actually when I was driving to church this morning. And I'll tell you exactly how. And you might know where I'm going. So I'm driving along heading south on Meridian. Just coming up shy of Riverlawn Christian Church, which sits on the west side of Meridian. As I'm just shy of that coming along, I see something. It doesn't look like a car. I just saw it kind of way off in the distance. It didn't look like something natural, some animal. I saw something dart across the road. As I'm getting up closer, I look out in the field where I thought I saw that something, and there's a big, beautiful doe with its tail up, running across the field, behind it, a second one. Running across the field, right there in broad daylight, just north of Riverlawn Christian Church. As I come along further, I decide to look on the other side, see if there's another one, because I know a little something about wildlife, and I know where there's one deer, there might be more. And where they've just crossed the road, there might be more wanting to cross and go right with them. And I don't want to hit a deer. Amen. And I do want to see a deer. I mean, the one I see every morning when I wake up is wonderful, but I like to see the wild ones out there too, all right? And so, I look on the other side as I'm slowly coming up, and there's so many deer standing there at the edge of the 6-foot chain link fence waiting to leap over and follow those others that I can barely count them. The best I could count, there were 15 deer there, plus the two that had run across the field. They were waiting. They weren't leaping. They can leap that 6-foot fence like it's nothing. But they were waiting to leap the fence because cars were coming by, and some were slowing down to see the deer, and so they're a little hesitant. I can guarantee you, though, that those deer were either heading for food, heading for water, or they were heading to bed down for the day, having got all the food and water they needed over the night. And that's probably the most likely. Headed to a place where they were going to spend the day because they were out there searching and finding food and water. And as I saw that and drove on, I wanted to stop, take a picture to send to my wife, to text to my wife. She was coming behind me later, but I wanted to get to the church, and so I didn't do that. But as I drove off thinking about it, I thought of this. Psalm 42, verse 1. As the deer pants after the water brooks, so pants my soul after thee, O God. All you really need to have
You don't need abilities. You don't need smarts. You don't need strength physically. You don't need human or emotional strength. You don't need to be able to accomplish this or do that. You don't need a good background. You don't need anything else. All you and I need to have to serve God is a hunger for God. A heart that, like a deer, pants after the water brooks, our soul pants after God. We know that we can do nothing without Christ, and by His power, we can do everything He wants us to do through Him. Amen. And we hunger for Him. We're thirsty for Him. We must have Jesus in our life, in our sleeping, in our waking, in everything we do, in everything we say. We know we've got to have Him. You don't have to look at who you aren't, who you've been, what you can't do. Certainly don't look at who you are and what you can do. Amen. You just got to look at Jesus. You just got to understand that He has grace sufficient to take you from wherever you are to wherever He wants you to be. And all you've got to do is hunger for Him and turn that hunger then into a seeking after Him. If you don't get in His presence, that hunger will die. But as you get in His presence, that hunger will be ignited. All you've got to do is know that you got to have Jesus and hunger for Him. The rest will fall into place. God will do a work in your heart and in your life. God will accomplish in you what you can never accomplish in yourself. I fear that in the church today, many have marginalized not this group of people or that group of people like we're so worried about today. Some churches probably do, and God forbid. But the big problem in the church that would even change that, if that exists, is we've marginalized the Holy Spirit. To marginalize means to place somebody in the margin or something in the margin on a piece of paper. But it means, and has come to mean in the last 30 or 40 years, that you have placed somebody on the margins of society. Right? And everybody's concerned about that. I'm concerned about whether everybody has placed the Holy Spirit on the margins of their life or of the church. He's not that important. We're just going to follow some rules and regulations. We're just going to do things that we think we're supposed to do. We're just going to apply biblical principles with the best of our abilities. We're going to have a religion versus a relationship. Amen. We've marginalized the Holy Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity, who brings the power of God and of God's grace into our life and enables us to rise up and serve God. I'm not just talking about the baptism with the Holy Spirit, but I am talking about God through His Holy Spirit living in you and certainly bringing you into the baptism with the Spirit. But we need the power of God. And when we talk about power, we are talking about the third person of the Trinity, that manifestation of God in His person who acts and does and accomplishes and does in our lives what we cannot do. We need the power of God. We need the Holy Spirit to live the Christian life through us. Amen. And the Holy Spirit does not empower your brute strength, your smarts, your abilities. We think, I can almost do it, but I can't quite, so I need a little God to get me the rest of the way. No, you and I need nothing but Jesus. Amen? We don't just need a little God. Apart from Him, we can do nothing. We need Him. And we need the fullness of Him. We need as much of Him as we can have. I believe God is grieved and hurting as He sees His church often marginalizing the Holy Spirit, thinking we can do it on our own. Paul said, when I went to Corinth, and I want you to understand this, I told you what the Holy Spirit doesn't empower, human strength. What He does empower is human beings when their faith is in Jesus Christ, when their trust is in the Lord, when they have understood and our understanding, it's a process, our understanding that apart from Jesus, I can do nothing, and putting their faith and trust and dependence in Christ. He does not empower human efforts and abilities. It's not in trying, but in trusting. Can you say amen? It's not in our ability to run, but our resting and letting Christ run through us, letting the power of the Holy Spirit work in our lives. We need God, and we can do nothing without Him. Amen? We need God. So simple. Just let God cause you to grasp in your heart that without Him you can do nothing. Amen? Take it a step further as He works in your life to trust Jesus, to make it your choice and your decision to rely solely upon Him. Nothing but Jesus means none of self and all of Christ. Amen. And then let the hunger of your heart that God has given every true blood-washed saint, let that hunger of your heart reach out to Him. Amen. You don't need anything else. God's got the rest. He can guide and lead and show you. Oh, just let go and let God. Just be still in your heart. Let all the stuff that burns in your mind, let it all go. Be still and know that He's God, brothers. Amen. Rest in Him. Let the hunger of your heart reach out for more of Him. I know and you know I can't do it, Lord. But I am hungry for You. I've got to have more of You. I need You more than those deer need the alfalfa they were eating this morning or the water they were drinking last night. I need You more than life itself. I need You, Lord, more than anything. Oh, I want to tell you something. If you've got a hunger for God and an awareness that you need Him and nothing else, then God's got the rest. Let Him have His way in your life. Amen. Just yield it all to Him step by step. Let Him take over and have His way. Let's keep it simple, saints. Can you say amen? Let's stand to our feet. I told you I was going to speak to you for a few moments this morning. There's a mouthful there. There's a heartful there. Just let it soak into your spirit. Let the Holy Ghost make it so real to our hearts. We're so busy struggling so hard when we need to be busy reaching out with hunger to God. And know that both He and I know we can't do it without Him. Can you say amen? Oh, would you worship Him? Would you lift your hands in sweet surrender? Let's have a little church here. I'd love to see everybody responding to God, reaching out to God here. Praise the Lord. Letting Him touch you. It may be that you need a touch that just clears all the clouds, all the fog from your mind, from your spirit. Just helps you to zero in on Christ. Amen. Nothing but Christ. Nothing but Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. It may be that this morning you be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You know what? You're saying, Lord, clear all the clouds and I come to receive what You have for me. what you provided for me in Christ. If maybe you don't know what you need, that's a great place to be. You need Jesus. You need Jesus. Would you slip out of your seats with me? Would you come down around these altars, kneel and pray, stand and pray, reach out for God. Let Him know that you can't do it on your own. Let Him know that you want to trust Him more. Let Him know that you are hungry, or that you want that hunger in your soul stirred up. And then from here, just keep getting in His presence, and He will stir what He's given you, a hunger like the deer that pants for the water brooks. Hallelujah. Praise God. We worship You. We praise You, Lord.